James' second reading this morning begins with an invitation, or even in some extent maybe an order. He says, "Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord." Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. And it's a really important thing to think about in the season of Advent, which is a season looking forward with patience to the celebration of Christmas. But I think the word patience and what it means for us in faith is going to be different depending on who you are. Makes sense, right? And depending on which kind of category of people you see yourself in. Different categories of people might think about or experience patience or the need for patience differently. So let me talk for a moment about categories of people. Like there are, for instance, two kinds of people in the world: those who put people into categories and those who don't. Or which way should the toilet paper hang, down the front or down the back? More importantly for this morning, think about this category, and I know that we hear from probably different versions of the two categories I'm going to refer to. Many of us here this morning are lifers in the Catholic Church, like me. I was baptized as a baby before, I remember. I grew up in the faith. I've been going to Mass every Sunday pretty much most of my life, all of my life. And this is home to me. This is very familiar. And I know some of you who are here this morning, and it's exciting and wonderful that you're here. This might be a newer experience for you. Maybe you've come to the Catholic community just in the last year or even more recently, or maybe you're a visitor and you're not necessarily used to being at a Catholic Mass, which is wonderful that you're here. And patience is going to look differently for you, specifically the kind of patience that James is talking about when he says, "Be patient, brothers and sisters, for the coming of the Lord." Let me talk for a moment about the kind of patience that sometimes we in the Catholic community, lifers like myself, that we need. And one thing I know that I experience, I have to admit this, is that, of course, like everyone else, I'm not necessarily the most patient person in the world. I have my moments, but like on the drive here this morning, the driving was okay, not great, but okay. I drive about 40 miles or so to get to Mass here. And, you know, a couple of times I felt like I should pass somebody going 40 ahead of me when I would have been going 70, you know, but I didn't. But I felt it. I felt like I really want to pass that person. But how dangerous and foolish would that have been? I have done that at times years ago, and I would never do that again. So, you know, it's a struggle for everybody. But specifically in the Catholic community, we have an issue, which is that we are called to and are living a way of life that may not be understood by many other people in our lives and in our world. We believe in God, we follow Jesus, we follow a certain discipline. For instance, going to Mass every Sunday, living marriage a certain way, not necessarily, again, the way that other people understand. And sometimes I look at people in my life who are far from God, far from Jesus, and I can say, oh, I wish you knew who God was in your life. I wish you had faith in Jesus. Because if you did, it wouldn't change everything, but it would change everything, if you know what I mean. Because you would find hope. You would find faith and guidance that no one else can give you. And I can be very impatient. I really can when I think, I wish you could turn where I turn when I need help and support, when I need healing. So there's a kind of impatience, I think, that we, lifer Catholics, can have with those who are not. There's another kind of patience that we might need and may not be willing even to admit, which is that we might need to acknowledge that we have to be patient in regard to ourselves. It's not just people out there who've got problems. We've got problems too. I know I do. And I know the last couple of weeks, and again this morning, we're going to hear a brief talk at the end of Mass, a testimony from a man in our parish. 2 weeks ago it was Dane, last week it was Sam, this morning it'll be Greg. Who was here the last couple of weeks? Just out of curiosity, you might have heard, so just so I know. You might have heard what they were talking about, and I talked to both about Dane and Sam and asked them what they talked about. And Sam was talking about how about a year ago, all these men are talking about a program called Exodus 90, which is a way of trying to rid yourself of sinful patterns or addictive patterns in your life. And Sam said, I didn't realize how many little things I was addicted to, his word, addicted to, that were keeping me from really looking at myself and recognizing the mess in my life. The sinfulness, the brokenness, the unwillingness to be whom God calls me to be. And I was part of the program too, and I would say those words of Sam speak for me as well. In other words, it's not just people out there who need patience, or we need patience with. We need to be patient with ourselves in the sense that let's acknowledge that all of us, I think especially people like me who are here, I'm in front talking to you guys, and you might don't know what you think about what's going on in my life, but I'm a person who needs patience with myself, because I've got problems too. But what about you who may be new here visiting, etc., and you're here at a Catholic Mass, there's a baptism going on this morning as well, so we welcome all the family and friends who may be here for the baptism. And you're thinking, what is going on maybe at this Mass, if it's not a familiar occasion for you? What does it mean? Why are these people doing this stuff? And in order to even be present and join in the celebration, which is so exciting, much less think about all that goes with being Catholic. Raising a child, which many of us have done, as I have done, raising a child in the Catholic faith, we've got to be really patient to understand and learn that there's a whole way of life involved, and how do we learn about that? And I'm thinking as well about another group. I know some of you are here this morning who are on the journey of learning about the Catholic faith and hopefully next Easter becoming part of the Catholic community. They've been journeying with us. I know that you're here this morning. I know some of you for sure. It's exciting that you're here and you have been learning, and it takes patience to learn about the Catholic faith and to accept that God and Jesus want to reach us and touch us in our lives here and now. That takes patience, doesn't it? Because you've got to accept things that maybe you didn't know about and maybe are not ready to accept right now, but you need to learn. And that takes patience. But actually, James is not talking as much about the patience we need with ourselves, no matter what category of people we fall in, ultimately all of us. He's actually doing something very important. And maybe you didn't hear it. Let me repeat again. He says, be patient, brothers and sisters, for the coming of the Lord. In other words, let me translate that into my own language. He's saying, we need to be patient with God. Why? Why do we need to be patient with God? What could that even mean? Well, the reason John the Baptist sends his followers to Jesus, they ask him a question, are you the one who is to come? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one promised to our people Israel? And the reason they have to ask is because as soon as the Messiah came to earth, God had promised, and he does promise, that he would bring about peace. That all the troubles and woes and challenges, brokenness, all the sin, all the evil in the world would be done away with. That was what God promised. And so these messengers are coming from John the Baptist to saying, Jesus, are you actually the one? Because we don't see all of that peace happening yet. And you know, if you talk to Jewish rabbis today, I've read a couple of articles by Jewish rabbis talking about how they feel about Christians and what they make of Jesus. And they say, well, if he was the Messiah, he would have brought about peace on earth. If he was the Messiah, he would have brought about peace on earth. And let me give you an example of how this affects me, maybe you personally as well. Because I look around in my life and I say, actually, if God is who God is, and I believe him to be, if Jesus is who Jesus is, and I believe him to be, then why are all these bad things happening in and around and through the lives of people I know, including myself? Like Friday night, we were out with some friends for a meal, and one of the fellows mentioned that his wife just had a cancer diagnosis. So, you know, I don't know what that means exactly for them in their situation, but I just hear that my heart sinks for him and for his wife. He asked for prayers, and certainly praying for his wife. Before he left, I gave him a hug. I don't usually hug people. I like giving hugs. I don't give a lot of hugs, but at that moment, what could I do? I gave him a hug. I'm praying for his wife. And yesterday, so we help with our little food bank in the village of Dundalk, where we live, and I got a call last week from a lady who wanted to give a donation. And I know that she's got some different struggles in her life because she's a single mother, working part-time, trying to raise her sons and provide for them and so forth, and she wanted to give. I said, that's wonderful. What would you like to give? She said, what do you need? Well, I said, it costs about $50 to sponsor the equivalent of stuff to get we get for one child. She said, okay, I can do that. So fine. Yesterday, I met her, and she said, you know, unfortunately, I looked at my bank account, and I didn't have the 50, so here is 40. She gave me two 20s. I could barely take the money from her because I thought to myself, why is this woman who is struggling to make ends meet, who's just like looking at whether she can afford something in her bank account to give to someone else in greater need, why does she have to help these families who are in even greater need than she is? You know, I thought of that widow. If you remember that story from the Bible, the widow who gives us like 2 pennies into the temple treasury, and Jesus says she's given more than all of the rich people who've given a little extra from all the money that they've got. And my heart sank, and I thought, why am I living in this world where there needs to be a food bank and food hampers given to families, that there are children in our communities, as here in Hanover as well, who are struggling this very Christmas even to get enough food? You know, it's a big part of our faith, and it's very deep in the Bible, that we are called, as James says, to be patient for the coming of the Lord. And being patient doesn't mean that everything's fine and everything's okay. It does not, not at all, as in the stories I just mentioned. You know, throughout the Psalms, they're constantly praying, they're praying, and they're saying, God, where are you? Where are you when we need you? God, why are you asleep? Wake up. Literally, those words are in the Psalms. God, arise. We turn to God from the middle of a world and in our lives that are full of messes because of our own sinfulness, mine included, yours included. And we ask God, what are you going to do about this? And we're waiting patiently. The word patience. We're waiting patiently. But we are also full of hope and joy. Now, the third candle is lit this morning. You notice 2 purple ones, 1 pink one. This is the pink Sunday. And in fact, there are pink vestments. Father could be wearing pink this very morning. He said he makes them look like a girl, so he's not going to do it. I said I would wear pink if he did. Anyway. But the point of the pink is, I'm wearing a pink sweater, by the way. Anyway, you can see that later. The point of the pink is it represents joy. Joy in the midst of trouble, in the midst of darkness. It is the darkest time of the year, getting darker and darker this coming week, right? In the midst of the darkness of our lives, we don't trust in ourselves or what we can figure out. We trust in God. We trust in Jesus. And the model for that patience is really, if you think about that patience, think of the patience, and I know some of you are here this morning, of the patience of a woman who is about to give birth. A pregnant mother. She's waiting with excitement and joy for something that she can't fully control. She has to wait for her body, for nature, for the child to come out. And yet there is also worry, concern, maybe even danger, because every pregnancy has a question mark written over it. What's going to happen? When? How? How will we cope? There is joy in the middle of sorrow sometimes, in the middle of darkness. Think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, as I said. She had no idea what to expect, and yet she's this woman of incredible patience, waiting for God, Jesus, the Son of God, to be born and to come into the world and, yes, to change everything. And that's what Isaiah talked about in today's second reading. I'm going to borrow Jean's missal now so I can read these words of Isaiah, these promises fulfilled in Jesus, that these promises that will be fulfilled finally at the end of time. Listen to these beautiful words that come to us from the prophet Isaiah on this Sunday. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. The ransomed of the Lord shall return, come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.